Through another in the series of the New Outlook on Life. This, I believe, is part four, and I just as a subtitle named it The Tongue of the Righteous. And last week, remember, last time was the renewed filter about your mind being that filter that has been renewed. And before that, we talked about what goes in and what comes out. And so let's go through and we'll add to this by talking about the tongue of the righteous. But let's start by opening up with prayer. Father God, we stand here in your presence this morning. Father, you're so thick in this room, Lord. Your power is here. It's great to be among your people, Father, and just worshiping you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, we're grateful now to enter into your word. And we pray, lead and guide my words, Lord, as I open up the scriptures and share, Father, what you have laid on my heart, Lord, for this morning. And pray that it be that ministry, Lord, that your word will deepen within us, Father, and it will quicken and become alive. And Father, bringing about the godly life that you have called us to, the new creation life that you have called us to, Lord, that we can live it out even more and fuller than we have even before we came in today, Lord. And I praise you, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, we say amen. Amen. So over the last few weeks, we've kind of set a foundation for what you'll actually hear today. And today will be kind of probably the ending of this, the New Outlook on Life series, but we've been setting a foundation for things that you'll be reminded of today. Number one, that you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You are not that old man. We're not fixing up the old man. Remember that? He said, don't put new cloth on an old, tear and try to fix it up because it's just going to make it worse. No, he made you a new creation in Christ Jesus. You have been made a new man, a new woman, and you've been given a new life and a new outlook on life. Okay, that's where this began. And we then protect ourselves, we guard ourselves from kind of a continual exposure of the evil, and we ensure that what's displayed on the outside of our life, we know we've got Jesus at our core, so what's displayed on the outside then ends up being a resemblance of Jesus because we're not surrounding ourselves and partaking of unholy things on a regular basis. We understand that what we take in the most is what's going to affect what comes out the most, right? If we're taking in good and God, and that's just kind of the environment we're in, that's what ends up being displayed more and more and more on the inside and the outside. Then it comes out. We know the Word of God says that we've been reconciled. We've been bought with a price. We've been reconciled, brought back together with God. And then we were given then the ministry of reconciliation to help others come into the same relationship with God that we experienced and that we know. And so we are then given that ministry of reconciliation. We know that you are the light to the lost world around you because you have the light of Christ within you. You have Jesus within you. Okay, we've been given the gift of discernment to be able to know what is light and what is darkness. God will quicken things and begin to show that. We talked on Wednesday night about Super Bowl stuff and commercials and different things, that primetime Fox stuff and that stuff, but there's a discernment that comes along with that because you can discern it. It begins to not sit right, things on the inside when it's darkness, when you're full of light. Okay? Then we ensure that what is good and pure and what displays on the surface, we ensure that it remains good and pure by renewing the filter that it passes through to get out, right? Remember the garden hose example. It's in the well, and then it goes into a filter, and then it comes out the tap. And so what comes out the tap had to go through that filter, which is your mind. Okay, and so we renew that filter, okay, and we keep it renewed with the Word of God so that it lines up with the correct view of who God is and who you are now as a new creation in Christ. Okay, we are in His eyes a new creation because of us being in Christ. The life that we now live, we live by faith in the Son of God who died. He gave Himself for us, okay, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So a discussion of the new outlook on life, though, would not be complete if we didn't get to this final part that we're on today. And that is to elaborate on the testimony of what comes out of our mouth now that we know all these other things, now that we know that we live from the God and we're new creation, now that we know we're not fixing up the old man, now that we know all these things, we're going to end with the testimony of what comes out of our mouth now that we do know all those things. Jesus, the Bible tells us, is the Word of God made flesh, right? It's the Word of God Himself. Okay? Everything that came through his life, his actions and his words, it was pure and it was holy and it was true and it was of God. And Jesus had no fault at all. And so he being that great example for us, and essentially for the Christian believer, he being who is at our core, then it would make sense that when we figure out how to live the new life, that what comes out of us would be words of life, just like what Jesus said was coming out of him. Okay, so when you're seeking to understand how to live out your life, how to live with this new outlook, and how to live from the new creation that you are, you have to consider the end of the story. Okay? We've all read the back of the book, probably by this point, that you see that it is by your faith in Jesus Christ that we win. It is by faith in the completed works, the shed blood of Jesus, and our confession then, and our testimony of that shed blood on our behalf, that we overcome and we obtain the victory through Jesus. So it's not just a belief, but it's also a speaking out of now what we believe. In Revelation 12, 10 and 11 says this. He said, I heard a loud voice in heaven. He said, now is salvation come and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren, the devil, is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame them. That's us. We overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. So we have overcome all the things that were coming against us, the accuser of the brethren, the falseness, the lies, the deception, the destruction, the stealing, killing, destroying that the devil came to do. We overcome all that by the blood of the Lamb, by the completed works of the Lamb. Okay, the once and for all sacrifice of Jesus Christ dying on the cross, taking the punishment for all of our sin, taking all of our sickness, taking all of our disease, and willingly nailing it to a cross, letting it be nailed to the cross on our behalf. Okay, that's the completed works of Christ. That's what he did on our behalf. So we overcome then by the blood of the Lamb that was shed for us, and by our testimony, or by our proclamation, by our explaining or explanation that comes out of our mouth, that we understand and believe the plan of God that has been carried out on our behalf through Jesus. See, the confession or the testimony of what comes out of our mouth really should line up with the gospel, right? And the gospel means, what does gospel mean? Good news, right? So it really should line up with the good news. Okay, having all our punishment taken, willingly taken by Jesus, having our new outlook then freely given to us simply because we believe in the unearned, unmerited favor and grace of God, that's great news. That is the good news. And so it truly is the gospel of Jesus Christ when we let grace come through our mouth. Okay, and I'm leading up to this scripture where God says this in Ephesians. Sorry, I skipped a page here. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed forth out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Let no corrupt communication proceed forth out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying or building up, so that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Okay, this is what we're instructed by God to do. Now, most of us can probably ascertain what corrupt communication is, right? It simply means destructive language, destroying words, defiled words, or corrupt words. Okay, they're not good. They're not of God. Okay, if you've ever been in a heated discussion with somebody, some people call them arguments. Okay, if you've ever been in a heated discussion with somebody and the tempers start flaring a little bit, and either you or somebody else in the conversation said something that was meant to cut down, meant to even the score, meant to hurt, okay, I'm going to put this person in their place with these words. They come out so quick. I'm going to talk about that in a minute, but they come out so quick sometimes, and once they're out, it's too late, right? You can't bring it back. So it's that, if you've ever had that and experience that in a conversation, a heated discussion, an argument, whatever you want to call it, then you have experienced firsthand corrupt communication. Okay, corrupt communication is allowing those words to come out that are meant to tear down, to wound, to hurt someone, or to even the score. Another common form of corrupt communication that we don't think of quite so much, but it's really written about in the Bible, is be the kind of derogatory conversation you have about someone who's not even there. Okay, now the Bible refers to it as gossip. When you're talking about somebody in a negative way, that they're not there to defend themselves, but you're taking it out and saying these words and letting this stuff come out about how bad they are and this and that and this and that and the other thing, it is very detrimental to the two or three or more people that are involved. Sometimes it's a group of people, and you're talking to a group of people about somebody that's not there. Okay, that's corrupt communication. It's letting that gossip come out. It is not meant to build up, to edify, to strengthen. It's meant to tear them down, to cut them down to size, to put them in a place where you have that little edge of superiority over them. The King James Version of the Bible talks a lot about these kind of topics, a lot about scriptures and refers to the words that you speak. The King James does, refers to the words that come out of your mouth. It associates it with your tongue. Remember that in the very beginning, before the service, I said the power of life and death is in the tongue, right? That's a King James saying it's in the words that come out of your mouth. 129 times in the scriptures, they refer to your tongue as an instrument that can be used to either build up or to tear down. Okay, and it contrasts the two because you can't do both at the same time. You can't build up and tear down with your words. You're either going to do one or the other. Okay, it can be used to speak of the righteousness of God. Your tongue can't. It can be used to speak of the righteousness of God. It can be used to testify of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. It can be used to sing praises unto His holy name and to exalt our God. Your tongue can be used for great and wonderful things. But it can also be used like a sword to cut down, okay, to chop down, to take down to size, to destroy, or to create calamity or strife or rile up anger to make those points. Okay, the scripture that we just read earlier says that we are to aim for the conversation and the words that come out of our mouth to be good, to the use of edifying, so that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Okay, it should be good and edifying. That means the goal of the words that come out of the believer's mouth is to build up, to encourage, to make the people that hear them better off than they were before we said them. Proverbs describes the tongue of the just or the tongue of the righteous as being like choice or fine silver. Okay, it's smooth, it's beautiful, it's valuable. Okay, choice silver, fine silver. You ever see the 9999 fine silver? Okay, I've got some coins at home like that. You know, that is beautiful. When you look at them when they first come out and they're in mint condition, kind of stuff, they're very beautiful to look at. They're usually smooth and, you know, they don't have any blemishes in them, and yet they have a very high value in that state. That's what it says. The words of the just are like that. They're smooth and they're beautiful and they're valuable. Proverbs describes the tongue of the just like that, but the tongue of the wicked it describes as an abomination to God. It describes the tongue of the wicked as treacherous, vain and empty, mischievous. A wholesome tongue in the Bible is referred to as a tree of life, but a fouled or corrupt tongue, it says, brings death and destruction. Proverbs strongly contrasts those two between the tongue of the righteous and the tongue of the unjust or the wicked. And it contrasts that difference of the tongue from the righteous to the tongue of the wicked for a reason. So knowing that you once were in darkness, okay, you guys have seen my little scenario that you once were over here in darkness, but now you've been brought into the light. Okay, you once were unjust, but now you've been made just. You've been justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Knowing those things, knowing that we are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, I ask you, what kind of tongue do you have? It's a no-brainer. But here's what happens. So many people are going to say, well, my tongue must still be a work in progress because I've still got some nasty things that come out of it. But the truth is what matters the most. The truth is that God has made you righteous. Your tongue is not an instrument of evil. It is not an instrument of destruction and of death. But it is, in truth, wholesome. It is uplifting. And it is an instrument of righteousness. That is what your tongue is today. You can see why it's so important, like we talked about before, about renewing that filter of your mind. Because what you think about yourself is what is going to be filtered through, and it's going to come out that way. If I think my tongue is evil, my tongue is bad, my tongue gets me in trouble, I don't like my tongue this, my tongue bad that, all these things, then as it comes out, it's got to go through this filter that says, yep, your tongue's bad. And it allows for that kind of stuff to be acceptable and almost expected if we think that that's who we are. If I think that everything that comes out of my mouth is negative and bad, then guess what? That's what's going to come out of my mouth, because it's going from pureness inside where Jesus Christ lives, and as it comes out, it gets corrupted by that filter, and it gets out here, and all of a sudden it's negative, corrupt, bad, hurtful, and we're saying the things that we shouldn't be saying. So that's why it's so important to renew that filter of your mind. If you still think that you're foul and that you're evil, it allows for those types of behaviors to be acceptable and tolerated in your life. But when you see yourself as the truth, you see yourself the way that God sees you, the way that you truly are, then those kinds of things are no longer expected. They're no longer accepted or condoned. When it does come out, I cringe. You ever have that? Those heated discussions, some of you know what I'm talking about. I know, like, Joey and Tony never argue, and, you know, Jeff and Nancy probably don't either, but some of the rest of you might be able to understand, okay? But when those kind of words come out, it makes you cringe a little bit. When you know that that's not who I am, I regret those words. I'm sorry that I said that instantly. Whether it's still in the heat of the battle or not, I know I shouldn't have probably said that, right? We know those kind of things. That's what happens when you begin to see yourself the way God sees you. When you realize that I am a new man in Christ Jesus. I am a new creation. I have a new outlook on life. This is me over here. That over there is not who I am anymore. And so when that kind of stuff comes through, it's like, wait a minute, that's not who I am. And it begins to have that kind of an effect on us. Your words are extremely powerful. And they can be used for good, or they can be used for destruction. But once something comes out of your mouth, there's no way to take it back. There's no way to recall it. We can, when damaging words come out of our mouth, we can do a little bit of damage control, right? We can apologize. We can say, you know what? I never should have said that. I am so sorry. You know, when things calm down and you get to that point, you can apologize and do a little bit of damage control. But the effects of what came out of your mouth begins to start and take effect immediately. Okay, and it moves very, very quickly. Okay, so the longer I go without apologizing, the longer I let that sword lunge out there and stay there, the more damage it's going to do. It's just like I took a match and flicked it into a big bed of paper. Okay. It starts small, but it's going to keep growing until it gets put out, until that damage control begins to take place. Okay, now I bring up fire because we're going to talk in a minute about the tongue being a world of iniquity, a fire, right? A small fire that gets set. When I was a little boy, I was probably maybe a little bit older than Elijah. I was probably about 12 years old. I remember I'll describe my farm, give you the background on it, but we lived on a farm. Our barn was probably, you know, from here to the street away, you know, 75 yards away maybe, and it had corrals on three sides of it, kind of big wood corrals, and then on the other side of the barn there was a tree strip that was about as wide as maybe from here to Taco John's. I mean, it was a pretty good sized tree strip that was there, and that was kind of the windbreak, you know, for the barn and the animals and that stuff. Well, in that tree strip was one of my favorite places on the whole farm. It had this pond in it, that was probably about as big around as maybe, you know, this church building. You know, it wasn't a huge pond, but out in the middle of it, years and years before we ever moved there, they had piled rocks in the middle of it. So it had this big rock pile in the middle with water all the way around it. That's a kid magnet, right? And so it had we had taken tree branches and boards and whatever and kind of makeshifted a little bridge to get to the island. And so that was kind of our hangout. We hung out there. Well, apart from that island, right next to that in this tree strip was a place where we kind of set up camp, so to speak. We made it our kind of a play area. And we had found an old army tent that my dad had when he was young. And so we couldn't find the poles for it or anything. So we used branches, my brother and I, and we set up this big old army tent. I mean, it was a full-size big old thing. And used rope to tie it to a tree limb, and then we pulled, you know, rope on the corners, and we set up branches in it, and we'd sleep in it on occasion. Well, one day, I'm at home by myself. My parents had gone to town. My brother and sister, I don't know where they were. They went to town with them or something, and I'm there by myself, about 12, 13 years old. And I decide, if it's a camp, it should have a campfire, okay? It's August in South Dakota, and so out in this tree strip, here's the brome grass about this tall, brown as brown can be. Okay, I mean, it was the end of the summer, so this stuff had already lived its life and was ready to plant seed for next year. And so it's brown, and so I thought, okay, I've seen campfires. You use a ring of rocks to keep them from spreading, okay? Because I knew, you know, fire is going to spread, but so I find some rocks. Okay, probably from the rock pile. I don't remember exactly where I got them, but I bring them and I make this little ring about this big, a single layer of rocks around in a circle, and then take the match. You know, I pile up my wood, you know, big old branches, snapped them in half. I was a big, strong 12-year-old. Break these branches and put them in there, make a big pile of branches with all that grass underneath and grass all over, and throw the match in there, okay? And so it starts, and it starts smoking, and then it starts bursting into flames, and then it starts spreading just like it's supposed to, and it starts building up. And next thing, here's this fire about this high and about this wide. And you remember, my fire ring was only this wide, but it's gone beyond that. And I'm in a panic. I didn't have any water. I didn't have any shovels. I didn't have Jesus at that time. So what did I do? The only thing I could think of was to stomp it out, right? I had cowboy boots on. I was a farm kid. You wear your cowboy boots. Okay, so I start stomping, stomp, 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 all over this thing, trying to, you know, making circles around because it's going in all directions. Now, in my mind, here's what's happening. This fire is, you know, not very far from the corrals, which are wood, full of manure, which is flammable, around the barn, which is wood. Okay, and I'm picturing within 30 minutes, this whole place is up. I mean, I'm in big trouble. My parents were in a town that the closest town with the fire department was 24 miles away. And so by the time I even ran to the house, called them, tried to get them or the fire, it was all over. I mean, there was no point in it. If I didn't get it out, it was going to burn it all up. This fire had been started and was spreading. Why stomp, stomp, stomp? And I don't know how, so I give God the credit. He put the fire out. Amen. There's no way. Okay, a little kid, all this brush, and it was bad. And somehow got all this fire stomped out and kept it. Well, by the time I got it out, it's still smoldering a little bit. By the time Mom and Dad come home, I did get chewed out for that. But it had burned probably 10, 12 feet all the way around the outside of my fire ring. Okay, and I had just kicked it and kicked and stomped, and it was just a mess. Okay, my point is that little fire began with a little tiny match. Okay, just like our little tiny word, loser, you know, call somebody stupid, say something negative, just one little word, and plants that little fire. And if you don't do something about it, it's going to burn quickly, it's going to spread, and it's going to destroy because that's what it's going to do. Okay? That same motion, though, of letting a word come out of your mouth, instead of being a negative spark that's going to start a bad fire, you can use it for the good. You can use it for planting a good seed with, you know what, I love you. You know what, you're okay. I care about you. Just some little statement, some little word can also be used for just the opposite. It can be used for a good thing, and that, too, can spread like a fire. Okay, if you say the right things and you warm somebody's heart, it can also spread for the right things. Okay, your tongue and the words that come out of your mouth, sometimes they seem like such small things, but they are so paramount in the direction of your life, in the events of your life, the things that are going on around you. Your words are paramount. That's crucial. It's big, even though they're just little words. Okay, it affects your circumstances all the way around you. The life we live in is not like a pinball machine where that ball gets bounced around wherever the machine makes it go. Our life is governed by what we say and do. It has a lot more to do with the words that come out of our mouth than we give it credit for. Okay? Our words set our course, in other words. Look in the book of James. We've got a few scriptures we'll go through here. In James chapter 3, verse 2, he says, "For many things we offend all. And yet if any man offend not with his words, the same is a perfect or a mature man, okay, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth so that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body with that little bit. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, so big, and are driven of fierce winds," we know about that in Wyoming, "yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever," it says, "the governor listeth," or in other words, the captain, wherever the captain steers it to go. Okay, the captain of the ship uses the sail to steer the ship. Okay, so even though those winds are big and fierce and coming, he can still use that sail to guide the ship to where he wants it to go. Okay, the sail and the bit, well, the rider is another example, but the rider uses the horse's bit or that bit in your mouth to direct the horse where he wants it to go. The sail and the bit are not in and of themselves capable of doing anything to steer the boat or the horse. You have a horse. Some of you guys are horse people. You have a horse with a bridle on. It has a bit in their mouth, and you walk away from it, and there's a bale of alfalfa over there. What are they going to do? They're going to go wherever they want to go. Okay? Unless the rider does something with that bit, the horse can still go and do whatever they want to do. And so that in and of itself, the bit or the sail is not going to make things happen. There has to be someone, the captain, the rider, the somebody to steer and make sure that that goes where they want it to go. Let's read on a little bit more in James chapter 3. He says, "Even so the tongue is a little member, and yet it boasts great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth." The tongue is a fire. It's a world of iniquity. "So is the tongue among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and serpents and things in the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith we bless God, even the Father, and therewith we curse men which are made after the similitude of God. For out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter water? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh." Remember I said earlier that the words that come out of your mouth are either going to edify and build up or they're going to destroy. You can't have both at the same time. James was trying to get this point across to us. The tongue by itself can't do any harm. The tongue by itself, it has some unruly qualities, but by itself, without somebody to steer it or to make it do something, it's not going to do anything wrong. It is a tool that you can use to steer your life. Okay? The message James was getting across is not that your tongue is evil and bad and uncontrollable, but he is saying it is fully capable of being all those things, so you're going to have God's grace. You're going to have God's strength active in your life in order to be able to control it, to do what you want it to do. You have to use it like the tool that it is and use it to steer and to guide your life into the right direction. Okay, James is saying that it shouldn't be blessing and cursing coming out of your mouth. It shouldn't be sweet and bitter coming out of your mouth. It should be used for just blessing and just sweet. Okay, when he says it's got both coming out, he says these things ought not so to be. It should be just sweet, just the blessing. You use your tongue to steer in the appropriate direction. Now, as we finish up, lastly, what is that appropriate direction? Do you remember from the scripture we read earlier in Ephesians 4:29? Let no corrupt communication proceed forth out of your mouth, but the alternative, that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may build up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. The tongue of the righteous has been empowered by God to do and to say the right things. Through our intimate relationship with God, we are able to use our mouth and our words and our tongue to build up, to strengthen, and to encourage those that are around us. As a righteous child of God, okay, you are the tongue of the just. You have the tongue of the just. You have the tongue of the righteous. You have the ability to say the edifying good things and to let it minister grace, that unmerited favor, things that will bless somebody. You have that in you. That's who you are. That's who you were called by God to be today. And so that other stuff that comes out, when it does, we can recognize it as such. That's old man way. That's old man thinking. That's not who I am today. I am of God. I am righteous. I am with Him in holiness. As a righteous child of God, your tongue can now be used to share and to minister grace with others. The grace of God. That means you tell others about the unmerited and unearned love and grace of God that He is offering to them as well. Your tongue is extremely powerful. And you have to remind yourself, as you look at life from your new perspective, as you live out your new outlook on life, and you live with that perspective, that you know that you have the tongue of the righteous. You have the tongue of the just. You have the right way within you. Now let that come out. Let that be you, who you are in your reality every day, more and more and more. And we'll recognize when it's not. We'll recognize when that corrupt communication comes out, because it's not who I am. I am not corrupt. I am made righteous by the righteous blood of Jesus Christ. And so through that, we begin to live differently, because then that cringing happens, I call it, where you'd say, that's not me. I don't want to do that anymore. And guess what? You don't have to do that anymore. You don't have to say that stuff anymore. You don't have to be that way. I don't need it. I don't want it. I don't have to have you. Thank you, Jesus Christ, my Lord. Okay? He empowers us to live it out so that we don't have to be that way. Praise God. Father God, we praise you this morning. We exalt the name of Jesus. We lift you up and thank you for all that you've done up to this point in our life, Lord. But we know that this working, renewing of our mind, letting your word guide us and reshape our thinking so that it's not corrupt thinking and not corruption that comes out, but the pureness, the holiness of God is what comes out of the mouth of the righteous. Lord, we thank you that you are leading us and guiding us, showing us more of who you are and who we are in Christ Jesus. Lord, that we may live from the new creation, and we may live with a new outlook on life, Lord, because of you being in us. You have made us this way, to made us holy, righteous, unblameable, and uncorrupted in your sight, Father. We praise you, we thank you, in Jesus' name, amen.